Good morning, everyone. I can just see it's 11:25, so just while I'm preaching, because I'm a quick preacher. So don't panic. I won't keep you here after lunch. So I'm going to talk a bit about God's family today. Who's in God's family?
Amen.
We all are. Yeah. We're all children of God. We used to sing a song, Father Abraham had many sons, I am one of them, and so were you. Then we'd go right arm, left arm, and do it all again, and we'd sing that for hours. It'd go on and on and on. But the family of God, you know, when it started out, Abraham was called to leave his land, to leave his people, and to go a place that to I will show you. And we know that he took that step of faith. He took a step of obedience. And he went out. He took his wife Sarah. But you know, he was a bit deceitful. Everywhere he went, he'd say, "This is my sister." Because she was such a beautiful woman. He was worried that he'd be dead, and that that wherever they went, they'd take her as to be their wife, and they'd get rid of Abraham. So he would always go around and say, "This is my sister, this is my sister." But God gave him a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. But Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. And she was getting older, and they were both getting older. And then, you know, they're in their 90s, and Sarah says, "Look, this is not going to happen. Take my maid Hagar to be your wife." So, you know, sometimes we think we've got good ideas to help God out. But, I mean, that just makes a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. Yeah. So then we know that Ishmael is born. Yeah. But the story keeps going. And that in there, like, he's almost 100 years old. And what she's well into her 90s. And she has Isaac. Yeah. Has a baby Isaac. And then we know that as when the child grows up, that Abraham is called to go and offer Isaac on the mountain. Yeah. And he goes up the mountain, takes Isaac with him. And Isaac says, "Here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide." But he takes him, binds him, lays him on the altar, gets his knife to slay him. And the angel calls out, and there's a ram stuck in the thicket. Yeah, so God provided for Abraham. And Isaac, then we know that Isaac, when he grew up, he was called to go back. And well, not he, but the servant went and called found a wife for him from the family, and brought back Rebecca. And Rebecca and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now those two sons were very different. Like Steve was talking about this morning, we're all different. They were very different. And we know from the story that Jacob loved Isaac and Rebekah loved, the other way around. Jacob loved Esau and Rebekah loved Isaac. And there was a lot of you know, they tricked Jacob. But you know, Jacob was one for trickery himself. Like his name is supplanter. Yeah. Anyway, they tricked Rebecca overheard Jacob saying to Esau, go and get the blessing. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to hand over it to you." So she calls in Isaac, tells him the story, and they come up with a scheme to trick Esau out of his birthright. Now this is all the family of God. What I want to bring across today is the family of God is a messed up people, and God loves his family. God didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the goody two-shoes. He came for the dirty, rotten sinners. Yeah. Who killed Jesus? The righteous. The church was the one that put him on the cross. Jesus came for the lost. Anyway, Rebecca and Isaac come up with this plan. Now, covered him in hairy goat skins, put on Esau's clothes so he had the smell. She prepared the meal just as Esau would prepare it. And we know that Jacob's eyesight was very poor. Isaac's was very poor. And they tricked him. And then the two brothers, Esau vowed to kill him. He said, I'm going to kill him. So he ran away. And while he was running away, he lay down and he had a dream. Yes. He dreamed that he saw a stairway to heaven with the angels descending and ascending up and down the stairway. And he said, surely this is the gateway to God. Yes. He built a monument there. And he was touched by God. And that was really his first experience with God. And then he was running away from Esau, who was going to kill him. And he went to to Laban's house, who was his mother's brother. So he goes to his uncle's house. And he falls in love with his youngest daughter. And there was two daughters. There was Leah and Rachel. And he falls in love with Rachel. Anyway, he asks for her to be his wife. And he says, well, you have to work for me for 7 years. And after you work for me for 7 years, then you can have her as your wife. So he loved her so much, he went and worked there for 7 years. And then at the end of 7 years, he gets tricked. So, you know, they say what you are comes back to bite you. I mean, he tricked his brother out of his inheritance. So Laban tricks him, and he gives him the older sister, Leah. But I always find that, it wasn't until the next morning. So, I mean, he must have dimmed the lights very low that night, and there wasn't much talking. Because the next morning, hang on, this is not Rachel, you've tricked me. And he says, well, you know, we've got a custom here. You can't give away the younger daughter first. He said, work for me for another week and you can have Rachel. After a week you can have Rachel, but you need to work another 7 years. So he had two wives within a week. He only thought he was going to have one wife, but I mean, he finishes up with four. But anyway, that's as the story develops. So he's got two wives, and Leah is having children. Yeah. And Rachel is getting very, very jealous, very upset, and there's a lot of tension in the household. And then after Leah has four sons, Rachel's getting desperate. She says to Jacob, give me a child, lest I die. Yeah. And he gets upset. Well, am I God? I can't do anything. So she says, here is my servant, Bilhah. Take her. So he takes her. Now he's got three wives. And she has two children. And then Leah sees that she's not having any more children. She also gives her maid. So now he's got four wives and his family's growing and growing, but there's still a lot of tension in the house. They don't really get on. And then Leah also, in the meantime, Leah has a daughter, and we know the story of as they were travelling through the land, some of the local guys see this daughter Dina and take her and abuse her. But like it says that he loves her, he wants her to be his wife, but it says that he forced himself upon her. So two of Leah's sons, Simeon and Levi, the they're trying to negotiate a deal. They say, well, you know, you can come and live with us, you can have our women, we'll have your women, but because you're not circumcised, we can't do this. We can only do it on one condition, that you all get circumcised. So they trick them. So all the guys, because they love this woman that much and he wanted her to be wife, all the guys agree to get circumcised. And, I mean, they're in agony. They can't move around. Simeon and Levi take their swords, go through and chop up the whole town, kill everyone. And they take all the women and all the livestock as plunder. And this is the family of God. This is your inheritance. You're part of this family. It's a messed up family, but it's God's family. God didn't come for the righteous. He came for the lost. And eventually, Rachel has a son, Joseph. And then she has another son, Benjamin, and she's dying in childbirth. And she named him Son of My Sorrows. But Jacob renamed him to Benjamin, Son of My Right Hand. But you know, Joseph wrestled with God. When he was running away from Esau, because his brother wanted to kill him, he wrestled with God. And even when he was running, what did he do? He put out the front livestock, and he said, you know, because they knew that Esau was coming with 400 men to kill him. Well, that, you know, they thought he was coming to kill him. So here's a couple of hundred cattle, here's a few hundred sheep, and then he put the servants with their children out the front, and then Leah, and then Rachel at the end, because, you know, he was scared he was going to die, and he wanted to try and appease his brother. But we know that Esau had forgiven him, and he loved him, they embraced him, and they went on from there. But with Joseph, when Joseph grew up, he was Jacob's favourite, and he didn't make any bones about it. He said, "He is my favourite." He made him a big coat. We know it's a coat of many colours. And Joseph didn't do any work. His brothers were out looking after the sheep. Now, it said when he was 17 years old. Now, what was King David doing when he was 17 years old? He was out looking after sheep. And he'd already killed a lion. He'd already killed a bear. He'd spent years. Now, for a 17-year-old boy, that's in the prime of their working life. He should have been out working. But he had his long coat of many colours on. And he might as well have had written on the front, "I'm the favourite, I don't do any work." Because that's what this meant. It was a long sleeve, which meant he didn't have to roll his sleeves up and do anything. And it says his brothers hated him. Hated him. Now, you know, quite often brothers, you know, will fight. But this was next level. They really hated him. And it says one day the brothers, except for the two younger brothers, because Benjamin was still only very young and Jacob was walking around with his coat on, it said that his father told him, "Go out and check on your brothers." Now, he'd already done this and brought back a bad report. Yeah. So another thing that families learn, you don't dob on your brothers. I mean, it's just not the done thing. If you're in a big family, if you dob on your brothers, your history. But that's what he did. He went and dobbed on his brothers. So Jacob says, "Go and check on them and report back." So he's asking him to do the same thing again. He's already done it once and they're hating for it. He's got his fancy coat on, and then he starts having these, actually before he goes out, he has some dreams. And he's so excited. He says, "Oh, I had a dream, I had a dream, I had a dream. I had a dream. We were out in the field and I had a sheaf of corn and it stood upright and all your sheaves came around and all bowed down and fell down before me." And that didn't go over well. And then he had another dream and he was so excited about that he went and told them that. And he said, "I had a dream that the 11 stars and the sun and the moon fell down and worshipped me. Now, by this time, even Jacob is getting upset with him and rebuked him and said, is your father and your mother going to fall down before you? And they told him off. But it didn't, you know, it says his father took it to heart, but his brothers hated him all the more. Anyway, so he's on his way out to check on his brothers who are looking after the sheep. And it says that when they saw him coming, so to see someone and to recognise him, they've got to be fairly close. I know he had his fluoro jacket on so you could see him a bit further away, but he wouldn't have been that far away, and he's a young man, so he wouldn't have been he was moving reasonably quickly. They schemed to kill him from the time they saw him to the time that he arrived, which is not long. And they came up with a plan. They were going to kill him because they hated him. Yeah. This is the family of God. Yeah. This is the 12 tribes of Israel scheming to kill their own brother. Yeah. Anyway, they grab him, and Reuben says, let's not kill him. Reuben is the oldest, Leah's firstborn. Let's not kill him. Let's throw him into the pit. Now, he said this, and it says it in the Bible, he said this because he wanted to come back later and rescue him. So he didn't want to kill him at all. But what did Judah do? Judah says, well, they saw the Midianite traders coming, and Judah says, let's sell him. Let's get some money. Now, you know, Judah and Judas is the same name. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Anyway, so the Midianite traders come and they sell him, and he gets taken down to Egypt. They'd already stripped him of his clothes, so they take his fancy coat, rip it up, kill a young goat, and cover it with the goat's blood. And they bring it back and they say to Jacob, we found this. Do you recognize it? We don't know. Well, do you know what it is? I mean, so they're all in on it. They're all scheming. Anyway, they keep that secret with them for years. So Jacob thinks that Joseph has been ripped to pieces and eaten by a wild animal, but they've sold him into Egypt. But from then on, they just act like he's dead. All the brothers, they don't say boo. And we know that when Joseph was sold, he was sold to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And the captain of the guard took him into his house. And Joseph must have been a very remarkable guy because he was quickly put in charge. It didn't take long before he was running the whole household. He was looking after everything except for the food I eat, because the Hebrews and the Egyptians could not eat together, and that would be detestable to the Egyptians. So Joseph looked after everything in the household except for the food. Anyway, it says that Joseph was a good-looking young fella. We know that he was 17 when he was sold, but he was there for a few years, so he'd grown up and he was a young man. And it says that Potiphar's wife took notice of him. And every day she was begging Joseph to come to bed with her. I mean, we've heard of desperate housewives, but this was another level. She really had the hots for him. And Joseph said to her, how can I do this and sin against God? Potiphar has put me in charge of his whole household. He's given me rule over everything. How can I do this and sin against God and sin against him? But you didn't let up. And, you know, women have a way of sort of manipulating things to make it work in their favour. Anyway, one day Joseph comes into the house and there's no servants anywhere. I wonder why. She would have probably given him all the day off. You go home for the day. So he comes into the house and she's begging him again. And it says she grabs his robe and he flees and leaves his robe behind. And then she screams out, help, I've been attacked. So when Potiphar comes home, he burns with anger. and he throws Joseph into jail. But you know, I reckon that Potiphar, I reckon if he'd have really thought that a Hebrew slave had abused his wife, Joseph would have been dead. But anyway, he was in jail. And very quickly, he was running that jail. So he's was running Potiphar's house, the captain of the guard. He's in jail. Now, under the captain of the guard. Now, I don't know whether it's the same man, Potiphar, because Potiphar was the captain of the guard. But anyway, he's very quickly running this jail. And we know that there was two guys, the Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's baker. Offended Pharaoh, and they were thrown into prison. Anyway, because Joseph knew everyone well, one day these two guys come out and they're looking very sad and despondent. So he said, you know, what's going on? And the cupbearer said, I had a dream that troubled me. He said, I had a vine with three sprouts coming out, and it budded and blossomed, and it was covered in fruit. And Joseph says, well, that means in 3 days your position to Pharaoh will be restored. And once again, you will be the cupbearer and you will hand him his cup. Anyway, the baker's on the side listening to this. And he thought, gee, this sounds all right. He was quite excited. He said, I had a dream. I had a dream too. I had a dream. I had three baskets on my head. And the birds of the air were coming to eat out of the baskets. And he said, the three baskets are 3 days. So the baker's thinking, oh, this is good. You know, he just heard the other interpretation, 3 days. He's quite excited. But in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and you will be impaled. And we know they both come to pass. But, you know, Jacob didn't claim any glory. He said, God interprets dreams. God interprets the dreams. But he said to the cupbearer, remember me when you get out. But he forgot him. He forgot all about him. And then we know that Pharaoh himself had a dream, and it troubled him very much. He actually had two dreams. He had a dream that there were 7 fat cows come up out of the Nile River, and they were grazing. And then behind them, 7 skinny, ugly, gaunt cows came up and ate up the fat cows. And then he woke up and he went back to sleep and had another dream about there was a stalk with 7 ears of corn that were very full. And then there was another stalk with 7 little skinny ears on it, and it gobbled up the fat ears. And he called all his musicians and his magicians and his wise men, and no one could interpret the dream. And then the cupbearer says, oh, I remember you chucked me into prison a few years back. There was a young Hebrew guy there, and he interpreted the dreams, and they came to pass just as he interpreted them. So that morning, Joseph wakes up a prisoner in prison, and within that one day, he's second in charge of the whole of Egypt, and he's riding around in the chariot. He's got his own mansion. It happened very quickly. Anyway, he called Joseph, and he says, I hear that you can interpret dreams. And he said, no, I can't. Not me. It's God. God brings the interpretation. So he tells him the dream. And he said, the dreams are one and the same. You've had the same dream. That you're going to have, in the land of Egypt, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, of bumper crops. You'll be getting 10 tons of the acre every year. And then there's going to be a massive drought and famine in the land. And that was the dream. But then Joseph, straight away, he gives him a plan. He says, you need to put someone in charge. You need to take 20% of the crops every year and put them into storage so that you can store it all up for the time of famine and drought. And Pharaoh and all his officials said, that's a good idea. You're the man. You do it. You do it. So he woke up in prison, and he went to sleep in the palace. as second in charge of the whole land. But you know, his brothers, because his father still thinks he's dead, because they're not spilling the beans, they're keeping their story tight. You know, there's his coats all ripped to shreds, covered in blood, he's dead. His father said, "Why are you sitting around looking at each other? We heard there's food down in Egypt. Go down and get some food for us." So, but he wouldn't let Benjamin go. He said he's grieving till his grave over Joseph. He said he could not be comforted. He was grieving his whole life for Joseph. So the other brothers, Benjamin stays at home, and they all go down to Egypt to buy grain. And who's in charge of all the grain? Joseph. So they come up to meet Joseph, but Joseph is all dressed up as an Egyptian. I mean, they haven't seen him since he was 17. He looks different. He speaks differently. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes him straight away. So he knows who they are. He's speaking Egyptian, even though he understands Hebrew. So whenever they talk, he hears what they're saying, but he doesn't let on that he knows who they are. And he says, "You're spies. You are spies. You've come out to check our weaknesses. You want to come and you want to invade our land." And they said, no, we are honest men. We are all the sons of one man. He had 12 sons. One is at home and one is no more." Yeah, well, sorry, you're talking to the no more. Because notice they didn't say he's dead, the one is no more, because they'd sold him. As far as they knew, he was gone. He was history. Anyway, he insisted, "No, you are spies." And he threw them all into prison for 3 days. And then he kept Simeon locked up and let the rest go and said, "You need to bring your younger brother back. I won't see your face unless Benjamin is here." Anyway, Jacob didn't like that at all. He said, "I've lost Joseph, I've lost Simeon, and now you want me to lose Benjamin as well?" But because the famine was so strong, they were going to die anyway. So he took him back. And Joseph, when he saw him, he had to go off because he just burst into tears. He ran off into his private room and wept and wept and wept. Because Reuben was saying, "Didn't I tell you this would happen? God's justice has now come upon us." And Joseph can hear all this because he speaks the language. They don't know he can understand. So he knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're saying. And actually, you know, when they were going back, all the gold was put back in their sacks, and their hearts were melting with fear. And it was all. And this is the family. This is our family. This is the family of God. Don't think that you have to be righteous. God came for the lost. Like my own family is split up, and I'm thinking, you know, what is going on? What is going on? But God says, "I love you. Rejoice in me. Rejoice in me." You know, sometimes I feel myself getting quite sad about what's happened, but God says, "You're part of my family. You belong to me. I love you. Rejoice in who I am. Don't look at your own circumstances. Look at me. I'm the author and the finisher. I'm the beginning and the end." So I just want to encourage us today to look at him. Because, you know, Joseph was a type of Christ. And he brought salvation to the Israelites, because the whole family finished up moving into Egypt, and Jacob, they had Goshen, they had the best land, they were really looked after, Pharaoh looked after them, and they were blessed. So, and it was, God said to Jacob, "It is okay to go down to Egypt." So, you know, we've been looking at at home group, in the wilderness and the tabernacle of Moses and all that. But we think, well, how did they even get into this place? But, you know, God meant it to happen. And even after Jacob had died and the brothers were still scared that Joseph was going to get rid of them, they said, "It was your father's wish that you forgive us." And they said, and Joseph said, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good." It was God's plan. All of this, the famine, the getting thrown into slavery, it was all part of the plan of God. Even the hatred of the brothers that were going to kill him, God, it was all in his plan. And it all worked out for good. You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. So even if someone is trying to harm you, your own brothers, your own family, it can still work out for good. Because God has a plan.
Come on. Come on.
God has a plan. Yeah. So we don't hear Joseph complaining.
No.
He'd been hard done by.
Yeah.
You know, he probably shouldn't have sprouted all those dreams off to his family, but it was in the will of God.
Yeah.
And actually, talking about the will of God and the family of God, you know, Judah, one of the brothers, it said he had three sons, and he went and got a wife, Tamar, for his oldest son. But his oldest son was so wicked, God killed him. And then Judah says, well, to the next son, go and raise up a family for your brother. So he takes Tamar, but every time he makes love to her, he pulls out and spills on the ground. So God killed him as well. And then Judah's a bit anxious about giving his third son, because he's just had lost two sons with this woman. Well, not, you know, the woman didn't kill him, but the sons died. But he says, oh, you know, when he grows up. But he grew up, but he never handed him over. So she hears, and then Judah's wife dies, and Judah's going up to shear the sheep up in the next town up. And Tamar hears about it, and she comes up with her own plan. So she dresses up as a prostitute, sits on the side of the road. Now, she must have known something, you know, if you read between the lines, because, you know, if I saw a prostitute, I'd think, oh, you disgusting thing, and walk the other way. But what did he do? He walked straight up and says, how much? So he must have had a reputation, because she knew, and she didn't pursue him. She was just there, and he went over to her. And this is the family of God. This is our family. Anyway, she says, oh, what will you give me? And he says, I'll give you a young goat. But he didn't have one with him. So she said, what will you give me as a pledge? You can have my rod and my staff and my signet ring. Okay? So then a few days later, he sends his servant up to hand the goat over. And she's not there. And he says to the guys, where's the prostitute? He said, there haven't been any prostitute here. So he says, oh, that's all right. Then I did my part. I tried out. Anyway, then a few months later, he hears that Tamar's been a prostitute and she's pregnant. And he says, bring her out and burn her alive. You know, he's bring her out and burn her alive. So they go and grab her. And she says, these belong to the man I'm pregnant to. Take them to Judah and see if he recognizes them. So he got caught straight out. But you know what even gets even more, like, this just blows my mind. She's pregnant with twins. Even the twins are fighting in the womb. When she's in labour giving birth, an arm comes out. They tie a scarlet thread around it, and then the second one is born. But they're in opposite, like, but there's the two sons, Perez and if you read in Matthew 1, the line of Christ is Perez, that baby. So Judah, with his daughter-in-law, dressed up as a prostitute, is the line of Christ. That baby, if you read, there's the generations from Abraham through to Jesus. So don't get on your high horse about anything, because this is the family of God. This is the family of God. And we're all different. We're all different. And he loves us all. Hallelujah. So I think that'll do it for today. But we're all part of the family. We're all part of the family. And don't judge one another. You know, if someone's running off to prostitutes with a family member, don't judge them. Because that's what the family of God is like. Hey, look at this. Hey, I've put him into shock. Hallelujah. God loves you. And this is our family. Father Abraham had many sons. We are the children of Abraham. And God's family was a mess. But through that mess came Jesus. And even in that same line, you know, King David and Bathsheba. I mean, that's in the line of Christ too. So it's all there. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed, be encouraged, and don't think, am I good enough? Because that is a trick of the enemy. Because the enemy will say, oh, you're not good enough, you're not righteous, look at the sins in your life. The sins are washed away. The sins are washed away. God's blood has made us clean. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed, to be encouraged, and have a good week.